Coming up on golf today, just 2 days away from his first start on the PGA Tour in 4 years, five-time major champ Brooks Koepka set to meet the media at Torrey Pines in moments. We'll bring it to you live right here on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
And there he is, the man of the moment, five-time major champ Brooks Koepka, about to meet the media about his return to the PGA Tour on Thursday at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Highly anticipated week on the PGA Tour. This is Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch. Will be a fascinating 20 minutes or so to hear what the five-time major champ has to say.
It will, and they must be expecting a lot of attention because the guy leading the charge there was Steve Garcia, who's the head of the PGA Tour Security, leading him there. I'm not expecting to hear a great deal from Brooks Koepka in terms of the details of why he made the decision that he made, because a lot of that is simply going to be embargoed by the separation agreement that I assume he signed on his way out of LIV. So I don't think you're going to get a lot of particular detail, but it's more the tone that I'm interested in, I guess.
Sounds like he's ready to talk. Let's send it out to Torrey Pines for Brooks Koepka.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. We are beyond excited to welcome Brooks Koepka to the interview room here at the Farmers Insurance Open. Brooks, we're excited to have you. I'm going to go right ahead into questions. So if you have a question, please raise your hand. I'm going to get a mic to you. Doug, we're going to start with Doug Ferguson.
Do you, Brooks, along with trying to figure out who half this field is, since you probably don't know him, this being your first event, tour event since 22, does it feel like you're just resuming, or does it feel different? And if it feels different, how is it different?
I think it feels a little bit different. I'm definitely a little bit more nervous this week, just coming back, but it feels good. I'm super grateful to be back. There's a lot of guys I don't know. Over the past, I guess, 3.5 years, there's a lot of new faces, but excited to meet those guys and feel like I'm part of the tour.
We're gonna go right up here to Dan Rappaport.
What did you miss most about playing on the PGA Tour?
It's a good question. I think the ability to have my family out all the time. I think that was one thing, because they didn't travel too much over the last few years, but they're going to be out this week. So I'm super excited to be able to have them out.
All right, we're going to go back here to Dylan. Dylan DeChair.
Yeah, Brooks, what were some of the most important factors that went into making this decision to come back?
Just my family. A lot's gone on over the past 5-6 months with my family. And that played a big role in coming back, and then just having conversations with my wife, my team, and being able to make that decision to come back was, I guess, it was tough conversations, but it was what was best for me and best for my family, and I think that was the decision that my wife, myself, everybody, my team, thought that was best as well.
PGA Tour will give you a little bit more flexibility in terms of scheduling and travel and having your family on the road?
Yeah, they'll definitely be out quite a bit more. Like I said, my wife's coming this week, my son's coming this week, and they're going to come next week as well. So that'll be super exciting to have them out, and just having my family around is really important. I've grown up a lot over the last few years, and especially the last few months. Just being able to be close to them is super important to me.
Okay, Rex Hoggard up in the middle.
Brooks, you mentioned the circumstances have changed about the last year. I know this is hindsight, but if you could go back to 2022, would you do anything different?
I don't regret anything I do. I've learned a lot, and I've always enjoyed the ride no matter where I'm at. And I think that's one thing that's you always learn from anything you're doing. So I have no regrets. But at the same time, I'm excited for this new chapter, grateful to be out here for Brian Rolapp, Jay, Tiger, everybody that was able to get me out here. I'm super grateful for it, and I'm excited.
All right, we're going to go over here on the left.
Can you talk about, obviously, returning to a course that's iconic like Torrey Pines, the challenge that it presents? Because, obviously, it's a challenging course here in San Diego.
Yeah, it's the last time we were back was, or I was back, was 20, was it, when did we have the Open? 21. So, yeah, it's a lot of, I've spent a lot of time. I used to have a trainer out here. So I used to come out here, spend a lot of time in La Jolla, and it's nice to be back. It's obviously a tough golf course. It's fun to play, but it'll really give me an idea where my game's at.
All right, we're going to go to Brody Miller on the right. Brody?
You've touched on it, I believe, there, but could you walk us through it all, kind of the timeline of when you started maybe thinking about making a return and what that process even looks like of how you get to this point?
Yeah, I would say... I'm not going to get in too much detail about the family issues that we've had, but yeah, I believe it was September, right around the Ryder Cup week. We were actually we had to be in New York. We were up there for a little bit, and circumstances kind of changed in my family a little bit, and then that's when I guess things started to change and evolve, and just start to have those conversations of what's best for my family and. So we took it from there, and then, you know, I was, me and Liv, we left that agreement. Everybody was happy with it, and they understood the situation that I was in, and just excited to be out here. So I made that, I think, the 23rd I was released, and then called Tiger right away, and then that process got the ball rolling.
Obviously, you'd have to play your way into signatures and things like that this year. I'm curious, like, mentally how you approach this year kind of differently. That is a bit more of a, you have to grind to kind of make your way into things and maybe not necessarily playing the big.
That's the fun part, I think. I love the grind. I've always enjoyed it. It's a fresh start for me, which is cool. It's just another chapter, I guess, in my book, and I'm excited for that. I feel like my game's in pretty good shape, but I want to see where it's at. Obviously, this week is a little bit different. But, yeah, I would just like to get this week over and just feel like I can start playing golf again. But I'm super excited.
We're going to stay right over here behind Brody.
So on a different note, for gear dorks like myself, you're a bit of a legend with the Nike still in the bag, the M2 still in the bag. My question to you is, with a lot of stuff that has come out recently that's really, really good, have you tested anything recently that could have a chance to fight that stuff out of the bag?
No, I haven't really tested anything. I'm not a tinker. If something works, something works, and I don't really switch up. I like everything that I've got in the bag. I feel like I have a good understanding of the control, where the misses are, and I haven't really tinkered with anything, man. I like my bag set up right now.
All right, we're going to the left, Lisa.
Have you been able to set some goals for the season, and what would a successful season look like for you?
Yeah, I think obviously winning. I think that would be nice. But yeah, kind of touching on that question earlier, I got to play well. You play good golf, everything takes care of itself. I'd like to try to get in those signature events and play well, but I understand I got to earn that, and I'm looking forward to that challenge. It'll be something where it'll be a little different spot, and I've got to work my tail off, and I'm excited about that. So we'll see what happens, but I would love to come out and get a win.
Over here to the right with Bob and then Todd. Bob?
Brooks, last year at the U.S. Open, you said that you were tough to be around for a while given some of your struggles. I'm just curious, did your year on the course, the struggles on the course, have anything to do with this decision at all?
No, not at all. I was going through a lot of things. I didn't talk about it. But yeah, it was definitely a more of a difficult family situation with what was going on. There was a lot of things going on, and sometimes that can, I guess, relate to play a little bit. I don't know if that's what it was. I don't know. I don't really have an answer for that. But I know sometimes when your mind's free, I think you look at Scotty right now. When your mind's free, sometimes it's easier to go play golf and play your best.
Were there any, to get out of your contract, were there any financial or other things that you had to do to sew that up, so to speak?
No, I'm super grateful for Yasser and Scott and the way they handled things. But I'd like to keep that all internal. But they were great to deal with, and I'm just happy and fortunate enough to be out here now.
Todd,
Brooks, a couple for you. Do you think the PGA Tour is better now as a tour than it was when you left to go to LIV?
I'm 2 days in. So I don't really know.
From what you've observed?
Yeah, I think I could probably, maybe I can answer that question a little better. Because I feel like there's a lot of things that I'm still trying to figure out how things work. It's kind of like a readjustment period. But yeah, if you ask that question, maybe later on in the year, I might be able to give you a better answer.
And to touch on just the newness of it all again, when you say that you're nervous more than usual, maybe, where are the nerves come from coming into this week in terms of just seeing people again, or how you're going to play? How are you feeling about things?
Yeah, I think the nervousness probably was more for this, to get this out of the way, to be quite fair. I think I'm excited just to get, I mean, maybe a little bit antsy to get to Thursday, just so I can get back to playing golf, and that's what's where I feel the most comfortable. But I was definitely nervous just for this, seeing guys. I mean, I was kind of overwhelmed at the text messages that I received from guys on both sides. And I think it meant a lot to me. And I'm, like I said, I'm grateful and I'm excited, and I just want to get back to playing golf.
How many guys yesterday do you feel like you had a conversation with, you know, more than just hello? Was it a lot?
I don't know. There's maybe 10 to 15 guys that came up and said something. A lot of caddies. It's tough to kind of put a number on it. But yeah, it was a lot of good to see you. Glad you're back. I would say, maybe 15 guys. And then there's 15 caddies, 20 caddies, just random people, just people from the tour. That number jumps when you look at it that way, outside of the players.
Did you appreciate the feelings that you got from guys?
Yeah, it's always, I think everybody in this room would say the same thing. It's always good to feel wanted and, to be accepted. I think you see that from a little kid till now. Everybody wants the same thing.
All right, we're going to go over here to the left.
Brooks, I got two quick ones for you. If the PGA, in your opinion, do you think the PGA should open the door to more players?
I'm 2 days back into this. I'm not trying to get into the politics of it all. I'm just happy that I have this opportunity, and I need to take advantage of it. And that's all I'm really focused on, and going back and playing golf.
Do you think can the PGA and LIV battle be fixed or settled, do you think, in your opinion?
I have no clue. I've not been a part of the conversations on either side, so it's out of my hands, and my job is to go play golf and tee it up on Thursday.
Thanks.
All right, you're going to go to Cameron and then Paolo. Cameron?
Couple for you, Brooks. As part of the returning member program, there were a couple other players who were kind of looped in with that. I'm curious if anybody on LIV has reached out to you about your decision into the process and why you decided to come back and maybe try to pick your brain a little bit.
Nobody's picked my brain. I've got a few text messages from guys that are still on LIV. They're reaching out, and I think they understood the situation for what we were going through with my family, and whether the wives have communication there. So I think everybody fully understands the situation that we were in, maybe more than everybody else. I don't know how much has been actually publicized, but they understood that, and they just wished me the best, and to always do do what's best for you.
And you mentioned that Tiger was the first person you called when you got your release. Why Tiger? And if you don't mind sharing, what was a little bit of that conversation like?
Yeah, called him. I've always had a good relationship with Tiger, and I felt like that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to, once I had the opportunity to, I guess, get reinstated on PGA Tour, it was exciting and kind of really didn't know what to do. And that was the first person that kind of came to mind. I didn't know Brian. I didn't have a relationship with him, obviously, just because he's pretty new. And Jay was going to be the next call, but I felt like Tiger was somebody that I've relied on in the past for questions and answers and how to deal with things, and I felt like that was maybe the most comfortable call for me.
Paolo?
Just a couple. You obviously mentioned Tiger, you spoke to him. Were there any other people you spoke with throughout the process that kind of helped shape the decision or influence the decision in any way?
As far as my family and my team. I'm very, very close with everybody on my team, and I value their opinion and what they have to say. And, everybody pretty much said the same thing. You got to do what's best for you and your family.
And you mentioned earlier you feel like you've grown a lot the last few years. What are some ways in which you, I guess, would indicate that that's been the case for yourself?
Yeah, having a 2.5-year-old make you grow up pretty quick. It's so much fun. I guess being a dad, being a father has made me grow as a person. Definitely try to give him the best example, best way to live, and that's what I'm trying to do. I think as everybody in this room goes through phases in life, and that's kind of the phase I'm in now, is trying to make sure I set a good example for him and do what's best for my family.
Back to Doug.
A couple quick things, Brooke. When you came in yesterday, do you recall the very first person you saw, player, whether it was parking lot, locker room, putting green, whatever, the first guy you ran into that you recognized?
It was kind of a whirlwind, to be honest with you. First player I saw, I don't know. I can't, honestly, it was, you know how sometimes, I know we all get in this thing, but it was all a bit of chaos and everything, and sometimes you just kind of go into a blur. I was more excited just to go hit putts and just feel like I'm back in some type of normalcy, or that's where I'm most comfortable, right? So to be able to do that was nice, but I mean, maybe it might have been Rosie. Okay. Rosie was the first person I saw, but I saw Rosie a couple weeks ago, so.
Doesn't really count. Secondly, have you and the tour decided on your on the charitable donation?
No, there's still some conversations that need to be had with the tour and myself, and figure out what the parameters are on that. And then once those are figured out, we'll be doing it.
And then lastly, your record in the majors the last couple of years has not been all that great, and it made me wonder.
Thanks for pointing it out.
Well, it's right there in black and white, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Don't I know it?
You're the one that shoots it. just made me wonder, though, how much. I mean, have you been able to prepare properly? Has the live schedule, do you think, affected your preparations going into majors?
It doesn't matter preparation. If you don't play well those weeks, it's tough to, number one, make a cut in a major, and then to win one is extremely difficult. Everything's kind of got to go your way. Bounces have to be right. You got to have some luck. And if you're just not playing, I mean, I just didn't play good last year. I don't think even in the end of 24, just wasn't playing that great. So it's tough to, I'm not going to put an excuse on anything else other than I'm the one holding the club. I'm the one that's got to execute everything. And I just didn't do a good enough job, point blank.
All right, we're going to start making final round, but we're going to go to Kirk first.
What's your expectation for how you'll be received by the fans when you tee it off on Thursday?
Maybe I'm a little nervous about that as well, just to see how I guess how the fans respond to it. I hope that they're excited. I hope that they're happy that I'm out here. It's kind of hopefully echoes what at least the conversations I've had with players, that they're excited that I'm back and happy to see me play.
And is there anything in particular you'll miss about LIV? And what did you miss the most about the PGA Tour?
I think just being around the guys, right? Because everybody's not around each other all the time. So I think sometimes, we're all one big traveling circus, right? That's kind of what it is. It's fun, and I'm going to miss some of those guys, seeing those guys pretty much week to week out there, and the relationships I've built with those guys and not seeing them all the time. That'll be quite different, but at the same time, there's a lot of people out here that I haven't seen in 4 years, and I haven't got to be around them as much, so I'm excited for that as well.
Back to Dan.
When you decided not to play LIV for 2026, did you have any inclination that you would be welcomed back so quickly?
I did not know. I just wanted to... I knew that I wanted to come out and see how things would fall. I did not know where that I was going to be coming back this quickly. Obviously, the decisions that Brian and everybody made were, I'm super grateful for them. I'm happy that it was this quick, but I was prepared for whatever they were going to ask or they were going to tell me.
And then since you went, Scotty has emerged as this world beater, Rory's gotten, equal with you with five majors, knowing how competitive you are, is there part of you that's excited to face off against those guys more than just a couple times a year?
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. Obviously, Scotty's been dominant, I guess is probably the right word. Rory's got five now. I don't think anybody's shocked by this. If you've watched golf over the last few years, how well those guys are playing, and I'm excited to battle with them. I think that'll be really fun. I think just the competitive side of me, obviously, you obviously want to do a little bit better, but I mean that's going to be very tough to do better than Scotty right now. I'm excited for it. I want to play with those guys and see where I'm at and how I can get better, right? That's the whole goal every day, trying to, practice to being out here is just get a little bit better, and I'm excited about that.
All right, we're going to finish up with Bob and then Logan. Bob?
When it was first announced a couple weeks ago you're coming back, I think you might have told Doug that you might have to have some tough conversations with some guys who might not be as gracious. I don't know if any of that has occurred yet, but do you think that some of that might be subsided by the fact that, they've created this thing where they're going to actually add to the fields that you're playing in? I don't know how much you looked into that, but they're actually adding guys because of you. And have any of those conversations taken place, or are you still concerned about it?
Did you say, am I concerned about it?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to all those conversations, right? Not everybody's going to have the same opinion. That's the exciting part about this, right? There's going to be some guys that are happy to see me back and some guys that won't, and I understand that. But like I said, that'll be the fun part of having those conversations. Some of them might be tougher than others, but at the same time, it's the opportunity I was given. And I think anybody that... I guess is in my shoes that has the opportunity to come back and the position that I was in, I'm going to take it. I wasn't just going to not play. If they gave me an opportunity to play, I wanted to play.
Do you know what you're planning to do schedule-wise beyond next week? Have you decided anything affirmative yet?
Yeah, so obviously not in a lot of the elevated events, signature events, so that will be interesting the way the year's kind of planned. I've got this week, Waste Management, Cognizant. That's what I know of right now. And then try to play as much as I can, I guess, before leading up to Augusta.
You're in the Players, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So assuming we would see you there too?
Yeah. That would be a good assumption. Yeah.
All right. Final question with Logan.
Hey, Brooks. Welcome back. Do you do anything unique pre-round in your warm-ups or anything that you do every tournament that's just consistent to you?
Yeah, I mean, my whole routine's pretty consistent, I think. Usually go to the gym in the morning and then come out here, get stretched out, go hit a few putts, go hit some balls, go chip a little bit, go back and putt, and go right back to the tee.
But nothing.
Try to keep it very simple, yeah.
Nothing unique to, like, just you versus maybe other guys?
No. I bet there's every player has their own routine and their kind of what gets the best out of them. And I think I've been playing golf a long time, so it's a lot of trial and error. But it's fun. You know, sometimes you feel like you need a little bit more more time on the range or a little bit more time on the putting green, so things might shift a little bit. But pretty much it's always the same.
All right, Brooks, thanks so much for your time and best of luck this week.
Thanks.
Brooks Koepka, speaking at Torrey Pines, acknowledging he's more nervous than usual about his just-completed press conference, nervous about fan reception as well, said his family played a big role in his return to the PGA Tour, that he's grown up a lot the last few years, views this as a fresh start, looking forward to battling the likes of Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. For now, he'll be battling Ludvig Åberg and Max Homa in his return Thursday outside of San Diego. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch of Golf Week magazine. What a fascinating nearly half hour that Brooks Koepka spoke.
Yeah, it might have been the longest press conference Brooks has ever done. And I think you see the two reasons why he made the decision he made. Clearly, the family is the priority, which anyone who knows the guy or spends any time around him would understand that. And the other side, which he didn't get into a lot, is the competitive side of it. The idea that he knows what Scottie Scheffler is doing. He knows what Rory McIlroy is doing, and he wants part of that action.
Yeah.
And I think if anyone was looking for Brooks Koepka to come in there today and kind of express any level of disgruntlement or upset with Liv that it didn't work for him in any way, that was never going to happen. Whatever the terms are that under which he left Liv, you can be fairly assured that a non-disparagement clause is part of it. I mean, even the PGA Tour has signed a non-disparagement clause when it comes to Liv. So that was never going to be an issue, and he clearly doesn't intend to litigate any of that in any kind of public setting. That's why he was very clear and said he doesn't have any regrets. He had a set of circumstances when he made the decision he made in 22, and he's got a set of circumstances why he made the decision he made at the end of 2025.
Yeah, don't recall him being nervous much ever, using words like gratitude. He said, you know, he's excited about this opportunity, views it as a fresh start. He was a bit self-deprecating about his major championship record over the last couple of years. But I think you're right. This has to do a lot with his family. He said his family wasn't able to travel as much on a global live schedule than it could on a PGA Tour schedule. But at the end of the day, he knows exactly how many tournaments and majors Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy have won. Can't wait to see all of those guys in the mix together on a big Sunday.
Yeah, and just following up on that point about the family not being able to travel with him, look at the live schedule right now. They go Riyadh, Australia, Hong Kong, Singapore, South Africa, Mexico, DC, Spain, and then there's a few US tournaments thrown in at the end. That's, if you have a young family, a family of any size or age, that's an inconducive schedule to see in very much.
Well, I can tell you all about traveling with youngsters. It's not easy. 2.5 is a rough age.
Well, Rex Hoggard was in the room for that press conference by Brooks Koepka. When we come back, he's going to join us to discuss what we just heard from the 5-time major winner.
Golf Channel senior writer Rex Hoggard was present for Brooks Koepka's press conference and joins us now from Torrey Pines. You sat through thousands of press conferences. Rex, what was your big takeaway from Big Brooks?
Damon, I was just thinking that felt like a Tiger Woods press conference, probably right here at Torrey Pines all those years ago, where there's so much attention, there's so much focus, there's so many questions, and they just keep coming after him. I will say, I don't think I've ever seen Brooks uncomfortable like this in a press conference. He's usually come across as the coolest guy in the room. I mean, we all know what Brooks was before he left to go to Live Golf, and he's clearly that same player. It's up for debate if he's that same person, because he talked about kind of three constituencies here, and it's worth pointing them out. It's the fans, it's the media and the players. He made it clear he was really nervous about going in there and talking with the media, answering all of those difficult questions. He also made it clear that the expectations from the fans on Thursday, that makes him a little nervous. He doesn't know what it's going to be like to be in a PGA Tour event that's not a major for the first time since 2022. The interesting thing, though, was it's the players that doesn't concern him. He talked about there's going to be some difficult conversations. He's embracing those. He knows that everyone's going to have their own opinion, and he's looking forward to those conversations.
He's concerned about the fan, Rex. It's pretty clear why he'd show up at the Farmers instead of making the first start back in Phoenix next week when the fan base tends to be a little louder out there. I assume you weren't at all surprised that he wasn't really getting into the details of the decision to leave LIV or the process by which he actually left LIV, because one assumes that's covered under the terms of any separation agreement.
I think that's fair to say. He kind of talked about the idea that speaking with Scott O'Neill, the CEO of LIV Golf, speaking with Yasser Al-Rumayyan, the governor of the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, he just sort of touched on the idea that those were good negotiations. They figured out how to get out of that last year of his contract. And I will turn the page a little bit. It's interesting and fascinating to me that the first phone call he made on the tour front was to Tiger Woods. It wasn't to Brian Rolup. It wasn't to Jay Monahan. It wasn't to any members of the policy board. He wanted to get Tiger's thoughts on it right out of the gates. But yeah, there weren't a lot of details as far as the LIV Golf front about what that separation looks like, but I don't know what the expectation was there.
How struck were you by Brooks's continued pointing to his family as being a real chief motivator and reason for his move back to the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it is fascinating. And really, over the last few months, if not the year, that everything seems to change. He mentioned numerous times a lot of changes in his life as it applies to his family. He mentions a lot of challenges in his life as it applies to his family. Again, didn't want to get into details there, but it kind of points out where he is in his life. Someone asked him how he has changed since he was last on the PGA Tour to now, and he pointed out he's got a 2.5-year-old at home. And usually, that's going to mature you really quick. So I think everything that he made this decision was based on everything that's going on at home right now.
He's part of a featured group with Ludwig Åberg, Max Homa. On Thursday, Rex, ESPN is coming live with his round. The PGA Tour is really driving home the welcome for Brooks Koepka. Do you think that's intended as a message to the other three guys who qualify for the returning member program who've got 1 week left to decide what they're going to do?
I think it is interesting, and you pointed out one of the biggest elephants in the room right now, Amy. I mean, the idea that ESPN is going to move this from their digital platform to the linear platform for the first time in decades is fascinating, and you're right. It's going to get the attention of those other three players over on LIV. This policy was very narrowly structured to go after those four players, and right now it doesn't seem like those three have any interest, but you pointed out the deadline is February 2nd. We have less than a week now until we get there, and if you look at how this unfolds this week, depending on how Brooks plays, depending on what the crowd reaction is like, but certainly right now, standing here on a Tuesday afternoon, the impact is dramatic.
Rex, there was a time Brooks Koepka would walk into a press conference with his chest out, head high, talking about major championships, that double digits was a realistic number for him. I mean, he was big, bad, bold Brooks Koepka. Is that guy gone? Is it a maturity factor for him now? Or do you envision a return to that Brooks Koepka at some point once his feet are wet again on the PGA Tour?
I don't know how that guy can be gone, Damon. That's a great question, but it's in his DNA. He is older. He's a father. He's contrite. That's the one thing that I do want to point out, because we mentioned the other three players on LIV Golf. I'm not quite sure they would have the level of contrition that Brooks seemed to embrace on this, not just coming in and answering the questions from the media, but there was also a financial penalty, a hefty financial penalty to come back to the PGA Tour. There was also a bit of a competitive penalty. Brooks Koepka made it clear throughout the course of his career that he wasn't terribly interested in any event that wasn't a major championship. This event would qualify as that. This is just the fifth time he's actually played the Farmers Insurance Open, hasn't really played it well. So all of these things point to someone who right now is very contrite, but I still think the same guy who would walk through the locker room with his shoulders back and his chest out and sort of announce to everyone that I'm here to win. I'm here for the biggest events. I'm here for the major championships. He's still there. He's just playing all the right notes right now.
Juicy subplot for 2026. So many layers to this story. As journalists, that's exactly what we love. Rex Hoggard, thank you so much.
We're joined now by Golf Digest senior writer Joel Beale, who's been watching the Koepka coverage today. Joel, we've heard from a lot of people who seem to see, a more humble Brooks Koepka out there today. You wrote an interesting piece about the Brooks Koepka who showed up at a fundraiser that Grayson Murray's family organised. And what you wrote would suggest that there's definitely a Brooks Koepka there that isn't the swaggering and occasionally surly public figure that most golf fans would recognise.
Yeah, I think Brooks is someone that's easy to fall into caricature. Certainly a guy who goes against the archetype of what we think a professional golfer is. One of those guys who's not afraid to be a jock, not afraid to brandish that bravado. Something that sort of rubs some people the wrong way, especially at times when he's kind of professed that golf maybe isn't his number one priority. Not dismissing any of that, but I think that some of that is also for the cameras. That's part of his public persona. That's part of the facade he puts out to his competitors. And last fall, I did get the chance to go to the Grayson Murray Foundation through a tournament for Grayson, and Brooks showed up. And in itself, that might not seem like much, but the two things I think that are worth their context are, one, a lot of other pros were supposed to go and dropped out due to scheduling issues at the last minute, which is very understandable given the complex schedule that these guys face. But, you know, they did drop out. Brooks not only showed up, but he was coming from Scotland. He was playing the Dunhill. And if you remember correctly, that Dunhill had a lot of weather problems. So that he basically flew overnight to show up to this event where he and Murray weren't exactly close by any means, but, you know, he had kind of given his word to the organizers that he would showed up, kept his word, and basically availed himself to the family, really kind of went above and beyond what you would expect someone in that position to do at a charity event. You know, a lot of these guys, their presence is enough, but I think we've all been around these pro-ams enough to know that sometimes these guys are a little bit more detached than fans want them to be. Brooks was there the entire time, really engaged with his group. Afterwards, spent time with the family, let them know whatever you guys need from me. Don't hesitate to reach out. And I know that might sound like whitewashing this guy who maybe, again, some fans feel have some hard feelings to, but I think that's the side of the Brooks Koepka that doesn't really fit our narrative and maybe a reason to maybe see this guy past what he shows us just in press conferences and inside the ropes.
Yeah, I don't think it's whitewashing at all. I think it's context, and you have that. That being said, was there anything that Brooks said or acted in a way that surprised you, or was his tone about gratitude and family and being a little bit nervous this week about what you expected going in?
It was a little bit more muted than I expected. He almost seemed repentant in some ways without saying what he was sorry for. That being said, I was unsurprised that he kind of brushed aside any questions about what he thought about LIV, what this meant for the schism. You know, same as when he left for LIV in 2022. Brooks had, you know, zero interest in burning bridges on the way out. He kind of operates with this mercenary pragmatism that just kind of compete, keep your head down, don't bother anyone else. I think that's one of the reasons why he's been allowed back, that he didn't really ruffle any feathers. Also, probably a bit of a calculation there, right? His old bosses aren't exactly the type you want to infuriate. I think he also realizes they did him a solid. They could have provided some friction on his way out. He realizes what they did. That's not exactly a courtesy you repay by trashing them as you go. So I think he understands the game being played here, that he didn't really offer anything quotable, that he kind of sidestepped some of the questions that could have blown up. I think it was strategic on his point and probably the smart move.
The thing with a lot of these great golfers that we all know when you spend time around them, Joel, is there is an ego there, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's what drives them to succeed at the height of the game. Do you think there's a case here where the PGA Tour is making a play on the egos of the LIV guys? Because LIV has made them, if not irrelevant, then certainly invisible. And now they're rolling out the red carpet for Brooks straight into a featured group, early ESPN coverage. He's the star of the show this week out there. Would you interpret that as a message with 6 days left in the deadline to a Bryson DeChambeau or a John Rahm saying, this welcome's here for you if you want it?
Absolutely. And, you know, nothing against Brooks, but he hasn't been very good since winning the PGA at Oak Hill, right? I don't think he's posted a top 10 in the 10 other starts he's had since that victory. Also wasn't really relevant at LIV last year, which, you know, he's never been one to express enthusiasm for non-major events, but that's a league where he should roll out of bed and contend. So that he now gets his feature group standings. I think it's actually the right move by the tour, though, because as we've seen, LIV has failed to attract the golf populace, at least here in America. And with Koepka's struggles at majors, there's a large segment of fans who just haven't really seen this guy in years. The fact that it's like Copen levels of cold across the country right now and there's no football, people are going to be tuning in this week and they're going to be reintroduced to Brooks. And I think it's the right platform. I think also his reception, I think, is going to be very interesting because I think sports fans are a forgiving bunch. You know, as we've discussed the past few years, Koepka, he was never, you know, he always tried to keep his distance with Liv. He was among them, but not one of them. I think that helps. But I think a lot of these other guys, especially Bryson and maybe a little bit Rom, will be interested to see how he is, how Brooks is received back, not only by fans, but by the tour and other players. And everything, I'm not on site this week, but everything I've been heard is almost everyone has come up and said, hi, welcome him back. The tour, this is definitely more than Brooks. And I think it's the right way to go about it.
Is this narrow pathway that Brian Rolapp and the tour created, this returning member program, kind of a reminder that Brooks Koepka and the rest of the PGA Tour going forward is going to really tilt and lean toward its stars? It's going to be the Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen of the PGA Tour who will be featured, elevated, and the shining light shone upon them.
Certainly, there's some players that think that. I would also argue, though, they've had that thought for quite some time now. I wouldn't read, but my personal read is I think this is more about the bigger Liv versus PGA Tour thing rather than a focus just on the stars going forward. I think one of Brian Rolapp's biggest obstacles here in the next couple of weeks and couple of months is making the rank and file feel like they're a part of it. I don't think they were alienated by any means off this exemption he has offered Koepka and a few other Liv guys. But as we've seen the past couple of years, the rank and file can be a noisy bunch when they feel like they're not getting their way. So I don't think, at least intentional, this is what Rolapp's trying to convey. If anything, I think he's got his work cut out for him to make the rest of these guys feel like they're all kind of rowing in the right direction as these big changes are being weighed to be implemented in the very near future.
Yeah, the rank and file can be loud. They were in Les Miserables, not quite an apples-to-apples comparison. Joe, we appreciate a few minutes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
And then last week, the tour stayed in the Bahamas for the Bahamas Great Abaco Classic. Ian Holt broke through for his first win in gusty conditions, needed a birdie on the 72nd hole to avoid a three-man playoff, and that's exactly what he got.
Here's what you need to know about Ian Holt. 30 years old, from Stowe, Ohio, played collegiately at Kent State, with the 2017 Mid-American Conference Golfer of the Year. Now 8 years into his pro career, 45 Corn Ferry Tour starts, and that was his first victory the weekend in the Bahamas. And Ian joins us now. Ian, congratulations on the win. It seems every year that we watch play in the Bahamas and the conditions are always challenging because it's always so windy out there. That was certainly the case when you were trying to get it done. What was the pressure like on those closing holes in those kind of conditions?
Thank you. Thanks, guys, for having me, first of all. But it was tough. I didn't feel like I was really feeling the pressure until I got to 18 on that tee box, and then it kind of all hit me. But I feel like just staying in the moment out there in those kind of conditions was really important. I feel like I did a pretty good job of it.
Ian, a couple of years ago, you were Monday qualifying on PGA Tour Americas, and now you're a winner on the Korn Ferry Tour. What's changed for you? Where's been your biggest growth area, mentally or physically?
I would say mentally, for sure, which I think bleeds into the physical part. But it was a real gut check 2 years ago, and to be able to come out on top of that and be where I am right now is awesome. And I feel like I have the tools to keep it going.
Going back to last summer, Ian, you'd played pretty solidly the first half of the year. You were fairly close to that cut line of the top 20 Korn Ferry Tour cards. Then the second half of the season wasn't what you were looking for. Did you find a frustration that you had to deal with at the end of the season, that you felt as though you'd put yourself in position and then it had kind of slipped away from you? And how do you reset from that?
Yeah, it was definitely a little frustrating. You always kind of want to come out of the gates hot. At the beginning of the year, and I felt like I did that. And then just kind of let it slip away a little bit and started not playing so much very good golf, and it kind of just snowballed a little bit. I think after the season, kind of putting the clubs away for a little bit and resetting and getting back to fundamentals and having a good rep at final stage of Q school this year, I think definitely helped the cause and kind of proved that what I was working on in the off season is, you know, I'm kind of starting to see the fruits of that. So I'm really happy with where I am right now and excited to keep it going.
I'm curious about your roots in Stowe, Ohio, not too far from Akron, where there used to be annually an event at Firestone. You had Tiger Woods dominant there. Were you one of those kids outside the ropes looking for an autograph? How often did you go?
I would go probably, I went every year probably till I was, I don't know, 17 or 18. It was only 15 or 20 minutes. We would always go for the practice rounds when I was younger, just trying to get some autographs. But yeah, it was definitely, it was always a goal of mine to try and get back there and play. Obviously it's not there anymore, but it was always super cool to go see the top, 60 guys or 70 guys there. You could get pretty close to them. It was great.
So now you are a Korn Ferry Tour winner, Ian. How does this reset what your goals are for the rest of this season versus what you entered the year with?
I think my goals stay the same. One of my goals at the beginning of the year was to win and obviously to get my PGA Tour card at the end of the year. And I'm going to stay focused on that and keep the gas pedal down.
Ian, congratulations. It's great chatting with you, and keep up the great season. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
There he is, Ian Holt.